Welcome to chemisode number 3 on the periodic table. Alright, so this is episode number 3 of the chemisode podcast for Unit 1 Chemistry. This one is on the periodic table and it's broken into 4 sections. Before I get into what the sections are about though, I'll just remind you that this is only a summary of what has happened already in the YouTube clip, the videos for Chemisode Unit 1. You can find these videos at YouTube/Mr. Jason Gowdy. If you go to that website, you'll be able to see all the different videos that Chemisode has put out for you to look at. This audio podcast is only a summary of what information was already on those videos. So go there and have a look at the video before you come and have a look at this summary. There's also a chemistry app or a Chemisode app for iPhone and iPad, and iPod Touch, of course, as well. If you go to the iTunes store and type in Chemisode there, or the iTunes app store and type in Chemisode or VCE Chem, you'll be able to see the Unit 1 app for Chemisode as well. The last little part of this Chemisode is the Facebook page, which if you go to Facebook/Chemisode12, you'll be able to like this Facebook page and get all the updates through the Facebook feed. So Chemisode is not just an audio podcast, it's not just a video, there's a few different aspects to it as well. So you can go and look at the YouTube, the videos, the app for the iPhone and iPad, and you can also look at the Facebook page. In the videos, you also have links to the Edmodo page where you can get the notes for these podcasts and videos. So please look at that as well. But that's my little plugs for my other areas. This is about the periodic table. So here are the 4 topics which we're going to cover. We're going to cover how the periodic table was put together, so a bit of the history. We covered the periodic table and electron structure, so what the periodic table can tell you about the electron structure of an atom, some of the trends that you find within the periodic table and how they come about, and then I'm going to do a summary as well. So let's get stuck straight into how the periodic table was put together. So the periodic table is not just a random thing. Obviously, we know all our elements. We didn't just start like by putting the first one that we found in the first spot, second one next to that, third one next to that. It wasn't actually put together until a guy really called Dmitry Mendeleev, who was a Russian scientist, looked at all the elements that we have and put them in sort of groups, kind of grouped them together in the way that they reacted with other things. He looked at how they reacted with oxygen and some of their properties and put the similar ones in groups. He put them in vertical groups and then across the top and going across, he ordered them in terms of how much they weighed. So that was the first time that people have started to put these together, these elements that we've found, together in a certain way. So Mendeleev was the first guy. He put them in groups according to their reactivity and their properties, and he ordered them from left to right in order of mass. Nowadays, we've kind of changed. We've got a bit more information. Back in Mendeleev's time, we didn't know about protons, neutrons, electrons. Now we do. So what we're doing now is we order our elements in order of increasing atomic number, which is basically a proton number. So it's basically increasing the number of protons you have in the nucleus as you're going across. And the way that they're grouped in vertical groups is according to how many electrons they have in their valence shell. So things with one electron in their outside shell, their valence shell, are put into group 1. The periodic table is also kind of broken up into blocks, which are called the S, D, F, and P blocks. And these are to do with the subshells. So nowadays, our modern periodic table is ordered in increasing order of atomic number, and they are grouped according to valence electrons, valence shells, and they are blocked according to their subshells. So that's a bit of the history of the periodic table, where it came from. If you looked at the video, it goes into a bit more detail. next little section here is about the periodic table and the electron structure. Before we get into this, we need to understand how the groups are numbered and the periods are numbered. So across the top, in the vertical columns, you've got what we call groups. There's two numbers for them. There's the IUPAC numbering, which goes from 1 to 18, and they also have the old-style numbering, which goes from 1 to 8 in Roman numerals. The old-style numbering is probably the, well, in my opinion, it's the easiest one to remember, because it just goes 1, 2, then you've got all the transition metals, which you could kind of ignore, and then after the transition metals, you go 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And the interesting thing about this is the old-style numbering tells you how many electrons are in the outside shell of an element. So the position, or the group number, tells you how many valence electrons an atom has. The periods, which are your rows, your horizontal rows, these are numbered just simply from 1 up to, I think it's about 7. And what these periods tell you is how many full shells, or no, how many shells an atom has. So what we can do is, from the position on our periodic table, is get an idea about exactly what that electron structure for that element actually is. For instance, if you look at an element which is in old style group 5 and period 3, what you could tell is it's got going to have 3 shells, and in the third shell, it's going to have 5 electrons in the outside shell. So in the third shell, it's going to have 5 electrons. Shells number 2 and 1 are going to be full, but then the outside shell, which is the third one, which is because it's in period 3, is going to have 5 electrons in it. So that gives you a bit of an idea about how your position on the periodic table can give you information about the electron structure. Once again, all this information is covered in detail in the video as well. So maybe if you don't understand this part, go back to the video on YouTube and have a look at the area where it goes about periodic table and electron structure. Next up, we're going to look at the trends in the periodic table, which is probably the most important area of this podcast, I think. And so we have the trends in the periodic table. Now, trends in the periodic table are obviously what makes up the periodic table and gives it its name. Periodic table means periodicity, which means things happening in periods, so in cycles. The main reason we get things happening in cycles is due to this idea of a core charge. So the core charge is an effective pull of the positive nucleus on the valence electrons. And as you move across a period, what happens, it tends to increase. So as you move from left to right, you get an increase in core charge. As you move down a period, however, you get a decrease in core charge because your electrons are further away, you're adding an extra shell on. So as you're moving left to right, you're adding more protons into the nucleus, and therefore you're getting more core charge, pulling it in. As you move down a group, you're adding an extra shell on, so therefore the electrons are getting further away and you're getting less core charge. So what this means is, as we move across a period, we get an increase until you get to the end. And then you get a decrease as you go down, and then you get an increase. So you get this idea of a trend happening, and something changes across, and then it will move down and change again in a period, in a cycle-y kind of way. So core charge is what really is the first term we need to really be able to define and explain. What this does is, the core charge being a periodic thing that changes, this affects the atomic radius, or how big an atom actually is. You can imagine, as you're moving across a period, because you're getting more and more core charge, those electrons in the valence shell are getting pulled in more and more. So as you're moving across a period, the atomic radius actually decreases. As you move down a group, what you're getting is an extra shell added on each time you move down a period. So what happens is the atomic radius increases as you move down a group. Moving across a period, the atomic radius decreases. Moving down a group, the atomic radius increases. First ionization energy is the next thing that we need to talk about. This is the amount of energy needed to remove one electron. So the first ionization meaning to remove an electron, and the first ionization, so that's the energy needed to remove the first electron. As you move from left to right across a period, your core charge increases. This means you have more attraction of those electrons being pulled in towards the nucleus. What this means is it takes more energy to take your electron out. So as you move across a period, you get more and more first ionization energy, or you need more and more first ionization energy. So as you move across, your first ionization energy increases. As you move down a group, what happens is your first ionization energy decreases because those electrons are further away from your nucleus and therefore they're not held as closely to it. They're not held as tightly. So as you increase the number of shells, your electrons get further and further away and therefore they're more easily removed from your atom. The last thing I really want to talk about is the deal with electronegativity and what electronegativity actually is. Electronegativity is the ability of an atom to receive an electron, to pull in an electron. And as you can imagine, because we know what happens with core charge, as you move across a period, the core charge increases. The electronegativity, the ability for an atom to gain electrons, this will increase as well. So moving from left to right, you have an increase in electronegativity. As you're moving down a group, the opposite will happen. So as you move down a group, what happens is the electronegativity decreases because those electrons are too far away from your nucleus. Okay, so your trends in the periodic table really need to be able to be explained in terms of core charge and what happens with that. In the notes that you can find on the Edmodo website and on the notes on the podcast, the video, you can actually see certain sentences that I use to explain these trends in the periodic table. And they're the ones you kind of have to commit to memory to explain what's going on in your trends in the periodic table. So this has just been a really brief summary, brief recap. What I would like you to do is commit the small sentences in the notes to memory. Next up, we're going to look at a quick overall summary of all the things you needed to know. So this summary is basically just to go and say these are the things you need to be able to define, these are the things you need to be able to do with the periodic table. You need to be able to define what core charge is, what electronegativity means, and what first ionization energy means. Okay? You also need to be able to explain what happens to these things as you move across a period and down a group. Not just state what happens to it, but explain what happens to it. So why does the core charge increase as you move across a period? You need to be able to explain those things. You can't just say that it increases because that's just a rote learning thing. You need to be able to explain why it happens. That's the main thing. The next thing you need to know is be able to look at a position of an element on the periodic table and know what that tells you about its electron structure. So know about how many shells it has and how many electrons are in the outside shell. That's what you need to know. It's pretty basic stuff. The video goes through it really in a pretty good depth, though. So if what I'm talking here is gibberish to you, go back to the YouTube clip and watch that again. Then go back and listen to this. And if you still have trouble, maybe write a question, ask for help on the Edmodo website. Okay, that's about it, really. Just another plug for the Chemisode app, which is on the App Store, on the iTunes App Store. If you just type in Chemisode into the search button there, or if you type in VCE Chem, it will come up. So have a look at that, download it, and have a play with it. It's only 99 cents, and a couple of flashcard things in there, which are also 99 cents. But have a look at it, and yeah, let me know what you think. And that is all.